Rejected that? I mean, since your client stands in a different position, do we know?
Superior Dairy was never offered.
Just never offered. We're sure they were never offered that somehow.
Sure.
That's in evidence. Okay.
And that's
Okay.
In the word. Mm-hmm. Never offered. And
well, when you don't offer, isn't it, I mean, the law is that then you have the coverage. If you don't have a specific rejection, then you have the coverage.
Yes.
And so that's who has the coverage? Superior Dairy.
That's the ambiguity.
Or you. But what we don't have, I guess the trouble I have with your argument that it seems to focus on there is no exclusion of your client. That seems to be the real focus, that the policy you know, has it or has it by virtue of it's deemed to be issued under the umbrella. To whom? You know, that's really the issue. To whom? And it seems your argument focuses on if it's the employees and there's no exclusion for scope of employment. But it's really no exclusion. But we really have to get to, it's your argument requires an implicit that your client be insured implicitly, not explicitly. You know, it doesn't say all employees and then go to no within scope of employment or not. It says you. So we have this whole initial threshold question about who is you. And if you don't win on who is you, exclusion is, it seems to me, fairly secondary to the who is you question. Do you agree?
I agree that I think we first must address who is you.
Yeah, because you don't need the scope of employment issue isn't in there if your client is not you.
Right.
If employees are not you.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're right about
mm-hmm.
that. But I think where the umbrella policy and the Court of Appeals went wrong is there's no language whatsoever in the umbrella policy to tell us what they meant by you, who U.S. coverage applies to.
Mm-hmm.
And according to all the rules of construction I could find in the state, that creates an unclear situation.
An ambiguity as to who is insured.
Right.
And even if then it has to be your client is the insured by virtue of being an employee, but then his employment is not a factor in his remaining an insured. In other words, I see a problem there. Scope of employment seems to be, goes part and parcel with his being identified as an insured. Because he's only being identified as an insured by virtue of being part of Superior Dairy, right? An employee. Yeah.
But the policy didn't say that.
Right.
It didn't say he was an insured either. This is my point. It said
you.
It didn't say he wasn't insured.
I know, but you need to. Yeah.
But they're writing.
Mm-hmm.
I have another problem.
Yeah.
I think they will, you know, now. But the point is, they have left us with no idea who is going to be insured under this umbrella. Mm-hmm. And the law, which I believe in, as a lawyer, will or should, rules of construction say that he should be insured.
What rule says he should be an insured? I'm not following that particular premise.
Because I think that if the policy is ambiguous, that means you agree.
Well, that is only, is the language, it's ambiguous as to whether or not he should be insured. It's not language that's difficult. It's you.
Yeah,
you get in there.
In the context of U.S. coverage under the corporate entity being the you,
right.
Correct. It is ambiguous. Yes, the term you, a 4-year-old, they don't understand you.
Yeah.
But when I complicate it with the personal protection of an automobile, when I complicate it by a corporate entity as opposed to a corporate entity, because we do have ambiguity, and Kane versus Nationwide and a host of cases that have talked about this arena have said, if there's ambiguity, it has to be resolved against the carrier and not the insured. And I think that's what I'm suggesting to the court to be done in this case.
Why are we just talking about the umbrella policy? The underlying policy has the same problem, doesn't it?
I agree.
I mean, the underlying policy doesn't say scope of employment, and that was written into it.
That's right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That was my position. Bringing this case up here. Our Court of Appeals found that both policies were ambiguous and that he was insured. And then, out of the clear blue, he's insured, but he wasn't on the job. And I filed a reconsideration in that case, asking the judges to reconsider because I felt that there was something in the policy that warranted that he be on the job.
It's not an argument that's made in the case, but occurs to me since so much time has been spent on the umbrella policy. Can you be an insured under an umbrella policy when you are not under the underlying policy?
I believe you can, absolutely. Because
Isn't an umbrella policy, isn't a predicate to an umbrella policy a basic policy?
Yes, but the umbrella policy stands alone. It's separate and distinct, written by a separate carrier. And if we follow Durack and House and the other cases that interpreted the obligations of an insurer when they're writing an umbrella policy, we have to view it as separate and distinct.
Do you think your case is stronger as to the umbrella policy, or to the underlying policy, or are they equal?
I think they're equal because of the ambiguity in you. And Judge Flint said in his defense, in the end of the case, there is clearly confusion and a lack of clarity as to what, who is intended to be covered for you at first. And the obligation, as you all know, is what the carrier declared.
Your negotiating parties are Liberty and the carrier,
Liberty and the
carrier and the employer. You think that the employer, when he was negotiating for his policy, ever intended that he was buying policy that were covering all the driving methods of his employees when they weren't at work?
I don't know what the employer is.
So you realistic that he meant that?
But didn't Judge Gwynn only concentrate on the umbrella policy?
He did for some reason.
What happened? Why?
Well, no. I can't explain that. He didn't address the same issue he addressed in Henry.
Right.
But he went off on the umbrella, felt that there was no UM language, I believe, and therefore clearly...
Well, I don't think there's UM language. I think he said it was never offered.
What I meant by UM language was there was no language in the umbrella policy whereby they could...
You know, you say that what they'll do is redraft these policies. Can they redraft a policy specifically excluding UM coverage, even in an umbrella policy, without going through the statute 3937.18, which says you must offer it? The reason I ask you is because I took the time to go back and look at mine, and I hate these policies. My declaration page says I have 500,000 basic coverage and 1,000,000 umbrella. And it says, then the next line, 1.5 million underinsured coverage, uninsured coverage. Then I go back to the umbrella policy. It says we do not provide underinsured coverage in the umbrella policy.
Very hard to understand.
I like these cases.
But I think they can be clearer. There's no doubt in my mind. In this case, I don't think Liberty Mutual or Liberty Fire. I mean, I haven't had any books, but surely they have tons of lawyers that can come up with the who is an insured clause that defines what they intend. I don't think that would be difficult in time of defense in that direction. I think it's announced by the court of conduct, which is important, I think, to the public, to employers and insurance companies. I strongly urge the court to true or follow the Demetri versus Kim case, where we're not using liability language to define UM language, or to define UM coverage, and so on. That is important. The umbrella, one thing I wanted to mention when I got off track, the umbrella as it stands now has one insurer, Superior Dairy Inc., because there was no other language in the umbrella to define the scope. And if you follow the Meaty versus Kim and not use liability language to define the scope of UM coverage, then there would be no one covered under the umbrella if you simply use who they state as an insurer. There'd be no one. The umbrella would fail. Thank you.
Appeal. But under a different meaning, that means the cite King for that. Is King buying according to that interpretation?
I would say no.
I wonder. I think so either.
The desire to be King had to do with this particular case, had to do with the use of resident relative language, the designation of the teacher, and that is a policy that is not present.
By virtue of their association, that's the point, that they, if they are acting for themselves rather than an employee of Superior Dairy, they couldn't qualify as an insured.
And that's correct. And I think it's just, we have to recognize that when the legislature established this automobile liability scheme, that they wanted all of is what the person has in mind and to manage responsibility. And the statutory definition of person is that it includes every actual person, firm, partnership, association, or corporation. So the legislature is laying out a scheme that all registered automobiles have to have liability insurance. So then the follow-up to that is the uninsured motorist statute, which requires liability insurers who are insuring vehicles to offer to their named insured uninsured motorist coverage, be they an individual, a firm, a partnership, association, or corporation.
Yeah, so let me go back to my earlier question. If you're the head sales rep, CEO, various areas, issued a vehicle, a company car, use it for company business, use it for pleasure, are you at that point insured?
So long as you are in the company car, yes.
So you're a covered person, you're not a named insured.
Correct.
Is what you're saying?
Yes. The named insured would still be carrier there.
So the only insured as such is the corporation.
That would be the named insured, yes.
On your approach to this case.
Yes. The additional insured, as that frankly says, that term is the
so your position in this case would be the same if the person was issued a vehicle, drove it regularly for business or pleasure, but then he had an accident in the wife's car, you can say no coverage.
No coverage, okay. The only injured people who could be injured is an event and uninsured motorist. If the policy is an event that would be necessary, would be individuals who were in a
car. So you really doesn't matter in this case. There is no use to cover.
Well, there is.
Because the corporation didn't drive the car.
There is no you in the insurance, correct. There is no you.
So item one is really meaningless.
Well, it's not meaningless when you look at the big picture, which you
read. Well, as to other policy
holders, right.
But as to this policy holder, you have no coverage.
They couldn't make a claim so they couldn't get hurt.
Well, the plaintiff has claims that he is a you, or his spouse, his surviving spouse, he is a you by virtue of his acting for the named insured.
No, he's
an employee. But he's an employee. What's and what part of the nature of employment qualifies him? Because dairies can't act for themselves. Employees act for the dairy.
Well, I think that analysis tends to restrict the scope of coverage and may fall into the same situation as the Court of Appeals. And if you look at it as the Court's scope of employment framework for coverage, well, the uninsured motorist coverage for the automobile is much broader than that because it's not limited to whether you're working or not. And it's not limited to just the employee. It's applying to anyone who might be in the car, whether it be his family, mm-hmm. A customer, a client, my neighbor, anyone. We have to be in that car and when they were struck by an uninsured motorist. So it could be a mild illness and client situation. So the employment really is not germane. It's the only relationship that Mr. Ponder has to Superior Dairy that supports the point that he wants to make.
But let's turn that the other way around. Superior Dairy presumably bought this policy because they want A, protect the corporation.
Yeah. Right.
So, did the sponsor have a horrible accident driving a white car on company business?
Okay.
Coverage?
No, not for uninsured motorist coverage.
So,
you're not
in. So now the corporation in the tank.
I'm not following.
Well, I mean, say you have caused the accident.